Good afternoon, friends. Julie and I can pray. Almighty and eternal Father, when we come to thy presence, worship thee in spirit and in truth. Thankful for the relationship which desires to be throughout the generations, from everlasting to everlasting. Thankful that we are thy children, and thou hast made it known unto us. Thankful for our inheritance in heavenly places and in the earth. Pray that you shall grant unto us knowledge of all the things that empower us with faith and vision to accomplish thy purposes. That you shall cause us to know our heritage and to recognize who we are and what it is you bestowed upon us. We thank thee, our Father, for the living word which you have kept alive, made known unto thy children. For the written word and for the truth contained within the volumes that contain it. We pray now as we meditate upon thy purposes that you will cause us with the vision and the understanding to form the image of truth, to know what it is that exists out of the pattern of thy creation, what our inheritance is, thy mysteries, as you make them known. Pray thy blessing to rest upon the spiritual center of thy kingdom, thy church, upon all the nations that comprise thy household in the earth, and for the hastening of that day for which we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now as we commit ourselves to thy hand, we pray that you shall illuminate our consciousness with the greatness of thy person and thy plan, and we ask it. Amen. We're turning this afternoon to speak on a subject very vital, very intense. We're going to talk to you on the subject of from mystery to revelation. We're living in a period of time when there are a great number of people who think that if they can't understand something, it must be very, very deep. They often operate on the idea that if people can be attracted to something they cannot understand, then they're always groping for a mystery that never comes to revelation. There are a lot of hidden things, and the word mystery means secret or hidden. And the scripture contains much that relates to mystery and hidden facts. In fact, there seems to be an appeal to people everywhere to go to something that's obscure. We hear much about the mysteries of Orientalism and the mysteries of Asia's religion and their mystic schools and ancient Babylon, mystery Babylon the Great. But to the true Christian, he discovers also that the true Christian has been taken into a set of mysteries, which if he seeks to know and to understand it, surpasses all of the pseudo-mystery of Asia and to all the appeal and offer which is made to draw close to mysteries that never are revealed. For strangely enough, almost all the pseudo-mysteries are never explained and they're never revealed. In many instances, they are but the concoction of the imagination of a fallen priesthood, and never are its depths brought to the reach where it can be used by those that approach it. Upon the other hand, there is an explanation about the reason why many things which are most important to you are cloaked in mystery. If I were to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, I would read for you what Moses says concerning the secret things. And here in the 29th verse of the 29th chapter of Deuteronomy, we read, "The secret things belong unto Yahweh our God, and those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever." And when Jesus was conducting his ministry, he said, "I am going to open my mouth in parables." This is in the 35th verse of the 13th chapter of Matthew. "And I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." They were secret things. They belonged unto the Most High.
He had the authority and the power to utter them. And he said, I will utter things which have been kept secret since the foundation of the world. We can turn over to the scriptures, and we note in the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians, as it relates to us in the New Testament, he said concerning the ministry, ye are Christ's, Christ's are God's, and let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, that we are the stewards of the mysteries of God. If we are the stewards of the mysteries of God, it seems to some quite strange that so many of these mysteries are never explained, so many of these mysteries are never discussed. And I think one of the reasons why is there are great numbers of ministers who are not the ministers of God, and therefore they do not have the vision of the Spirit, and they can never be oracles of God, and so they'll never explain the mysteries of God, and the easiest thing to do is bypass them. And the people who are the losers are those that never are introduced to the things which are great mysteries. These mysteries might be cataloged into many phases. We have the mysteries of God, of God-likeness, and of God's existence. Great is this mystery of God. That is the mystery of the kingdom. That is the mystery of Christ and His church. Probably one of the most important mysteries of all that relates to the kingdom, but it is the mystery of God-likeness. For great is the mystery of godliness or God-likeness. And most important, probably, for you to understand is this mystery. Behind it is the secret of the orders of the Most High concerning your race. Behind it is the reason for segregation. Behind it is the reason for the calling of a specific people. Behind it is the mystery, the synthesis of the universe, as well as that of you. So we are told concerning these mysteries, that these mysteries are mysteries hidden since the foundation of the world. The Apostle Paul said, when I speak, I do not just speak wisdom among of the things of earth, but he says, I speak wisdom among them which are perfect. You may say, I never met a perfect man, but I want you to know that the Spirit that is in you is born of incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever, so the Spirit is perfect. You can't corrupt the incorruptible. You can't destroy that which is immutable. Therefore, the Spirit that is within you is born of incorruptible seed, and it is that to which the Apostle Paul speaks when he said, I speak among them that are perfect, children of the Spirit, resident in physical bodies. I do not speak just the wisdom of this world, for the wisdom of this world order is no wisdom at all. If I were to listen to the wisdom of this world order, it's diametrically opposed to everything revealed by God concerning His plan. The mystery of this world order, of this present hour, would have us envelop all of our lives and our living into the program which the world has, of integrating all peoples together, all religions together, all philosophies together, and eventually pull down this flag for the spiderweb flag of the United Nations and put everything under the head of a world super bureaucracy in which our race would be outnumbered 6-1, our faith enveloped by paganism, and we would be made the economic slaves of the earth. That's the way the world thinks, and the Apostle Paul has said, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Therefore, he said, I speak in the wisdom of God, in a mystery, even hidden wisdom which God ordained before the cosmos or this world order was formed unto your glory. And he reveals it unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, here it is translated, searcheth all the deep things of God. But the original text said the Spirit is the essence of the knowing of all the things of God. Probably that is nothing more important for us to know than the mystery of godliness. We turn over to the book of Timothy, and here we have the words of Timothy the preacher, in which he said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the nations, believed on in the earth, received unto glory. These are all the story of some of the message of the attributes of deity revealed. But when we talk about the mystery of godliness, it is the godlikeness, the mystery of which passes over unto you. In the book of Ephesians, we hear much about the mystery of God, and the mystery of God being the foundation of knowledge, and the mystery that reaches back before the foundation of this creation. We told you a week ago from the 90th Psalm that Yahweh has been our dwelling place, the mighty God, in all generations. Before He built and created, raised up the mountains, or built the earth and the worlds. Yea, that was our dwelling place, and He, the everlasting to everlasting, is the mighty God. Significant for us, therefore, is to understand some of the factors around the mystery of godlikeness, and how and what it is that God calls a great mystery. The great mystery of the origin of things. The mystery of the fact that the Apostle Paul declares all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made. Mysteries that are unveiled to the Apostle Paul in the third and fourth heavens, when he beheld that everything was not made from what they do appear, but they are made from invisible things, not visible to the eye, but visible after their construction, and they are composed of invisible elements. These are a part of the mysteries that the Apostle Paul declared, because it was secret and hidden, but it's not a secret today, for we're at the end of the age, and knowledge has increased, and every secret thing shall be made known. If I turn over to the book of Revelation concerning this climactic hour, I am told in the book of Revelation also that the mystery of God is about to be finished. That when this angel sounds forth his directive, that it will be said it is finished. The mystery of God is finished. The time in which the children of God in earth shall not know and not understand all these things are going to be over. In fact, there is one tremendous hour not too far removed when in all the majesty of glory God Himself will walk in earth as He has walked in it before, and every existing individual of His household and of His race shall think like He thinks, know like He knows, and shall have the wisdom of God crystallizing the very seat of their intellect in their consciousness. We are approaching that, but before that transpires, the Apostle Paul tells us of the mystery of the manifestation of the sons of God incarnate in the earth, who are going to do a great and mighty short work of righteousness in this hour. And this starts with a knowledge and with an understanding of the things of the Most High. We have all heard the repetition of the words of Jesus, that God is Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We are well aware of the great creative purposes of the Most High. I am more than amazed as I see the thinking of physicists, biologists, anthropologists, becoming more philosopher every day, becoming more adjusted to eternal truth without realizing that the road they've trod has helped to develop it. For we now find the physicists have declared that the whole universe consists out of three elementary substances. They are now aware that everything visible, and this we have declared unto you for 15 years or more here, that everything visible that you can see and touch within the frequency of video, frequency of vision, everything that is within the so-called solid world of creation is comprised out of particles of electricity. The physicist now knows this. He knows that within the vibratory field of electrons, protons, neutrons, all of the elements exist, from the simplest hydrogen atom with one proton and one electron to the most advanced uranium-238 that we are trying to upset and have learned to do so even including the masses of 235 and other atoms. The whole universe, therefore, of everything physical and everything visible has been made out of electricity or its particles, including this body that you dwell in. Though in this body there is another quality, and in the body of all living things there is an animated quality along with the existence of its electronic existence, which is a part of God's creation, a synthesis of elements existing in the universe. For when they say there are three basic substances out of which the universe is made, the philosopher has come, and it wasn't discovered by a Negro, of course, and no Chinaman figured that out. That came out of your race, and whether he knew it or not, it was one of those visions or ideas. An idea is a picture in the sea of your consciousness, and it has to come from somewhere, and yours come from the mighty brain of your father. Yes? Everything physical, everything visible, everything tangible, made out of energy, and the wavelength of electronics, and the electro-vibratory field. The electrons revolving around the nucleus of the protons, but what's holding it together? So science has said there is another set of factors for all electronic units of energy or particles. So also is light. For the mother and father of all things, the particles whose synthesis is most important to the universe is light. And light are particles, infinitesimally small, but still they are particles, moving, reflecting, traveling. And that there are portions of the universe whose synthesis is out of light. I want you to know that God, who is spirit, is the light of the world. He's the light that is the life of man. And without light, there is no life. This is the mystery of God and of God-likeness. For God, who is spirit, is a God of light. And you will discover that the celestial body of God is the old, eternally existing being. And your spiritual body, for you have a celestial body, the Apostle Paul tells us, and that celestial body is made of light. And that celestial body differs from the physical body in the wavelength of the energies, as one star differs from another in brilliancy. So therefore, your celestial being is made of light. The frequency of it may not be video plane to your eye at this moment, but it is nonetheless there. And your celestial body not only is made of light, but it is a part of the program of God in synthesizing the light and life of His kingdom into the world. You say, well, if light is a mighty factor, a creative force, an existent primeval substance in the universe, we have wavelengths of light. We have form in light. It can be transmitted at speeds that are staggering to the mind. And the speed of light and the speed of electronic particles at the Earth's surface under the density of atmosphere are found to be the same, 186,000 miles per second. But there is another quality. What has the physicist found now? What is the third quality of substance? The third quality are the particles of conscious thought. You say, you don't mean that the scientist accepts that thought is thing, or that thought is substance. Let me tell you that thought is the energy that is combined with the electronic impulse of the atom to hold it together and to determine the exact number of protons and electrons that make its orbit. And I want you to know that whereas God is in the essence of His being a God of light and His celestial being who has fathered all light and all sons of light, so also He is the master creator whose seat of consciousness has ordered the groupings of all the atomic substances of the universe. And He was the father of your Adamic race. And you will discover also that inside the synthesis of man is a celestial body, is a soul conscious ego, and a physical body. The physical body is made of electronics. The soul is made of the energy units of conscious awareness and thought. Say, well, I can't have a body of thought. Well, what are you anyhow? Residing in this physical body apart from your celestial being, what are you? You are the sum total of all the things you've ever thought, never experienced, and never remembered. Your soul-centered consciousness is the individual that resides, and conscious awareness possesses its particles, and the conscious particles that are stability inside the atom are a substance. Strange as it may seem, the whole universe is synthesized then out of light in its wavelength, electronics in its wavelength, and the very particles of thought that move out of the divine consciousness of the Most High, and every thought that emerged as the eternal fiat of creative vitality from it. And the physical universe is held together by it, the conscious, aware universe of living creatures, and the higher we may place the strata or cast of their existence is their greater cognition and the more they know. And when you start to evaluate the creatures of the universe, you have to set them in the bracket by their knowledge or their ability or their consciousness. This is the mystery of godliness, because you and I in the earth are in His image, because we are also spirit and we are consciousness and we are a body. More than that, the great mystery of godliness has been the transference of His household from heaven to earth. Never has it been more important that we understand the great mysteries of God's kingdom than now. Some people yawn and say, well, what difference does it make? If you want to know, you'll have to travel the route. And our great problem today is that people have not put out the effort to want to know. They don't want to even think hard enough to know. They can be intrigued for hours by the reflections across the boob tube. But when it comes to meditation upon things of value, they just don't want to be disturbed. Well, let me tell you something. Even as we look at the television tube, which came out of the technological abilities of the brain of your race, we have proved the ability to synthesize, even at that point, right? Electronics and thought. Not only have we synthesized into form the particles, which are light particles by reflection, which are by electronic energies combined, resynthesized in the image on the television tube, but we have also conveyed with it the vibratory field, which picked up an audio frequency, reconstructs the thoughts from the very speaking image. It is true that the majority of the things upon that screen are the image of the world order today. But then you were told that one of the marks of the latter days, the climax of this hour and the great new world order, would be that power would be given for the image of the beast to speak. And the world order, devoid of the great spiritual guidance and leadership of God's kingdom, is the beast order. And the image of the beast does speak today. And it speaks in the front rooms and in the homes of the whole masses of people of nation after nation throughout the world. We are living in a period of time when mysteries are being revealed. When we talk to you about the fact that you are a child of spirit, it is most important for you to know why it is significant that we be guided by the Spirit, that we draw out of the Spirit our deep and rich inheritance, because the celestial beings of God's children were begotten by His Spirit long before this cosmos or creation had been formed. That is why it was a mystery to the average Bible reader when Jesus talked to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, as a teacher, a Pharisee, relatively a good man that wanted to work for God in the earth. Wanted to know how he could enter into the kingdom of heaven, how I can participate in its administration. For he did realize that it had to be something formed in earth to carry out the will of God. And Jesus answered him simply, and churches have twisted and distorted it and moved in ignorance about it. Jesus said, you have to be twice born. You have to be born from above, and you have to be born on earth. You have to be begotten of the Spirit, and you've got to come through natural birth by the breaking of the water. If you were never born naturally into the world, you could never be a participant in the kingdom of God on the earth. If you hadn't been begotten by the Spirit of God in the heavens to begin with, it wouldn't make any difference if you were born in earth. You wouldn't know what to do or how to do it. You wouldn't have any celestial origin that could reach you. My, what we have sought to stress out of it. Someone said, Dr. Swift, this is an orthodox. He said, it's true. It's true. He must be twice born. My Father, as Creator, is a Father of grace, who reaches out into the ends of the earth and has declared in the lips of the prophet Isaiah, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. But has specifically promised that all Israel shall be saved, as is written. That is the difference between the household and the creation. That is the difference between the two creations which we have mentioned, of the Enosh beings created in the image of the Elohim and of God in their physical structure, and the Adamite begotten of God with spirit and life. Difference. There's two creations in the book of Genesis, one in the sixth day and one after the seventh, in which there was no Adamite to till the ground, or no man. For the word Adam means man, and it means white man. And the word Enosh means man, and it means the other creatures who are not the offspring of the Most High God. When I talk to you about the significance and the importance of understanding spiritual law, your celestial being has a celestial consciousness, has a spiritual mind, was with the Father throughout the ages of yesterday, beheld everything that happened like Jeremiah, who saw everything before the second creation and said, I saw the world when it became without form and void. And that's the second verse of the book of Genesis. You remember the words of Jesus? He said that it was essential that he send the Paraclete, translated the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that it might bring all things to your remembrance, that it might lead you into the knowledge of all truth. And then turned around and said, even the Spirit that the world cannot receive. How long have we sought to tell the world that they can receive that which they had no receptive capacity for, because they had no spiritual nature that had that wavelength of understanding? When God created the universe, it was good, including our own solar system, just a small fraction of the Milky Way. Everything he put upon it was good, and things that have happened since then through the course of Lucifer's rebellion and the struggles in space and on the earth, all shall be brought to victory by the Most High, who's going to see that everything's going to be good again. Someone said, well, I don't believe that, Dr. Swift. Well, that's not important. The Apostle Paul believed it, and Peter believed it, and when he delivered his first great address after the Spirit illuminated his consciousness, he talked about the great day of the restitution of all things that was going to take place, that had been spoken of by all the holy prophets since this world began. You know, there isn't anything greater that you can understand this afternoon than that your Father has things in hand and is going to bring things to a consummation, the greatness of which has not even been considered in fullness by His many children. When we tell you there is a difference in people, it's how they consist. God has synthesized in you, His children, the spirit of life and life, the soul consciousness, and the physical creation, until you are the composite substance of all of the basic substances of which the universe is framed. the moment that the physicist has to admit that there are living knowledge quality elements, elements that have knowing, elements that have conscious organization, that can organize both light and electricity. He admits the great mind of God, the great soul of the universe. And there's no room for atheism or agnosticism when you reach that perimeter of knowledge. There isn't any question that the mysteries that revolve around the mysteries of godliness were again introduced by Jesus. And this is a mystery which is the mystery of God that's to be climaxed in this hour of revelation, this end of an age. As we mentioned before, when Jesus said, I'm from above and you're from beneath, he was talking to Jews in Jerusalem. He said, I'm from above and you're from beneath. He said, no man can ascend into heaven but they that came down out of it. And we have to see that the most important thing to do is get people into heaven. The most important thing to do is get the universe in perfect balance with God. And the most important thing, my friends, is to consummate the victory of God's kingdom over all evil and error throughout the universe. The most important thing isn't leaving the earth, it's staying here till you finish the job you came to do. You said came to do? Yes, you came into the world. Some go out of it. You have been told that we didn't bring anything in and we don't take anything out. Where did you come from? You came from the presence of the Father and from celestial realms, and you came into this world by birth. In fact, when God visited the earth, and this is one of the great mysteries the Apostle Paul tells us, is God who was seen of the angels. God, who is the God of light and of spirit, actually dwelt in the earth and was preached to the world and was beheld by the world. He came into the world. He said, I am not of the world. He told you concerning his purpose, ye are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But we don't want to take you out of it. We want to keep you in it till we finish this task. We mentioned a week ago how the Jews turned and they couldn't understand what he said. And they didn't understand when he spoke of the Father. They didn't understand when he talked of spiritual things. And Jesus said, you cannot understand what I say because you cannot hear my speech. Suppose I tell you that the great mysteries of life, the mysteries of God, the mysteries of divine law are all contained in these facts, and why God does not want to see a mongrelization, and why he has condemned the mixture of races. It lies right here. We were talking to a group of doctors the other day. We have many strange things that transpire in the course of our activity in declaring this gospel of the kingdom and the mighty work of God, and imposing the politics of evil and the conspiracy to destroy our society. At one time we're talking to a group of association of manufacturers, the next time a group of research doctors and surgeons who were working on a very specific project wanted to talk with us because they have come to the realization that there is a spiritual cognition that must be discovered if their experiments are going to be successful. Listen. Never has it been as important as it is now to understand some of these things. When Jesus spake to these Jews, he was speaking to a multitude and they always chimed in. And then he turned to them and said, you can't hear my words because you can't understand my speech. When he said they couldn't receive the Holy Spirit and the world order couldn't, but the children of his kingdom could receive it, and said it will bring all things to your remembrance and bring you to the knowledge of all truth. What is remembrance? Again, we tell you, it is one of the mysteries of the creation of energy and the storing of it by experience. The scientists know, and so do the psychiatrists in the medical profession who are interested in real science and are interested in an understanding of the relationship of this and all that, the study of nerves and of vital patterns of remembrance can bring. Everything which you see or experience, the very mechanical process of thinking, generates milliamps of electricity. And these milliamps of electricity are electrons. And they move down tiny filaments into your brain. In fact, the very process of thinking and seeing and experiencing helps to develop them. They twirl at high speed around the ganglia of tiny nerves, and a picture, whether it be video through the eye, or whether it be audio through the ear, vibrations translated by this pattern of energy, sets up an image. The image has form. It is the thing which you are seeing, thinking about, hearing, or experiencing. Then these electrons slow down as the experience passes and stand still, nascent electrons around a tiny nerve fiber. And your chief medical scientists understand this. But the mystery is that quality that exists inside of you that can reach out and reactivate at will, just like selecting a record, that layer of electrons. A micron is a tremendously thick layer of measurement compared to these particles, even though it be a million. The fact remains that around one tendril of your mind tissue can be a lifetime of experience stored record on record of electrons. And when it's stimulated and picked up, the picture is restored to your mind. Now they've discovered something else about this, and that's rather significant too. That we pass on from generation to generation the sum total of these experiences and this knowledge. And that we have inherited also a great pattern of it. But as we were talking with these doctors, it was on the philosophy of mitosis. Strange as it may seem, we are face to face with a great knowing quality of conscious existence and knowledge factors. In the process of every birth, in the selection, like a vast computer working with knowledge of everything that relates to each new embryo. The fact, as you well know, that the chromosomes and the genes and the chromatin and sperm and ovum cells contain all the pattern and all the characteristics of the mother and the father, contain all the characteristics and a bookkeeping quality of genetics of the grandfather, the grandmother, the great-grandfather, the great-grandmother. You say, how far back does it go? Back to Adam. That's how far back. You say, how do you know? I talked to an expert in this field, this doctor, said, I asked him how much chromatin is contained in one gene. He said it is impossible to give a full count. At times it seems almost impossible under even electronic microscopic determination to get focus, and they seem to fade in and out sometimes even for such types of count as though they were invisible. But he said the fact remains that there is unlimited patterns of it. I said, what do you think is the determining factor? What do you know about that chromatin? What is it? He said it is a tiny particle of visible electrons. It is an electronic memory. And it is quite obvious that just as there are genes that have a memory and operate mathematically to determine what the color of the eye is going to be, or what the mean height is going to be by the background of their forefathers, that is an intellectual gene that passes on the sum total of acknowledged experiences and remembrances. And even the newborn babe has several fibers of his brain tissue surrounded by electrons that came in a layer that were deposited there by the quality of the electrons in the intellectual gene. That's why we may say that intelligence and brilliance is immediately transferred from generation to generation. Some have more aptitude to some things than others, but they have all inherited everything in their background. You say, is this important? Yes. Because, you see, that remembrance can be brought back. Just as anything you've ever experienced can be understood, so the energy of God's Spirit, like a mighty electrode, can bring into your conscious remembrance anything that ever happened in your way, and anything that your celestial consciousness, by its spiritual synthesis, ever saw or experienced in the heavens since the creation of endless ages. Outlined the philosophy of this synthesis of light, of energy, to these who had been experimenting in a very interesting field we haven't the time to discuss now. The answer and the evidence, even as some of our highly technological institutes have been able to measure it, the type of brain waves, the difference between memory and creative thought. The fact is that each and every one of you, as a child of the Adamic race, have inherited the experiences and the knowledge and the technology, and it was can be brought to your remembrance. That's why anybody else. That's why anything that relates to God, anything that relates to the Old Testament, the New Testament, or the things of your race, or the background of your history, and when you start talking about it, an image comes right up in these ganglion nerves, you get a picture of it. If I could talk to you about the background of a lot of Chinese tradition, and you might never get a correct image of it at all. And you can talk to a Chinaman day and night about things in your background, he may never see it. He'll erect it as pagodas. Because you're going to erect in the seat of your consciousness the thing that's a part of you. And that's why one of the most important things you can know this afternoon is the mystery of spiritual seed, because you have been begotten of spiritual seed, incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. Mix the races, and the byproduct does not have the background of clear affinity, nothing that can be brought back with clarity, because he has mutated this cultural wave. It's the destruction of nations and of races. It has the condemnation of God. Significantly, therefore, your celestial being is a being of light which has its seat of consciousness, its eye of vision. You have your physical body with its physical brain, its senses, which has recorded everything that you can think about that's happened to you on earth. And you have this seat of conscious knowing that you are a being, which is your great internal soul consciousness that operates with its vision of the senses, or draws for its higher vision out of the superior knowledge of the Spirit. I was again interested in a report that was being made concerning the tremendous need for education in Africa and Asia, and how they wanted America to immediately spend millions and billions of dollars advancing and developing the educational systems of Africa. And so they tell us about the educational system in Nigeria and the educational system in Ghana, supposedly the most advanced in Africa. They have universities there, you know. And then they tell us that when you get a doctor's degree and graduate from a university in Ghana or Nigeria, you have almost as much knowledge there as a seventh and eighth grader out of an American school.
And it isn't because they didn't try to teach them more. They found the peak of the level of their ability and graded their schools back down accordingly. They found a limitation. No wonder Chicago University, with its scientists, said that they were repudiating all of the foundations, social revolutionists and pseudoscience, whose foundation in the fact that everybody on the face of the earth was supposed to be equal might be all right as a political idea, but it was certainly wrong as it related to anatomy, to ability, and to spiritual values, and said it's important that we realize that if the world is going to try to build on this fractious foundation, it's bound to come to a catastrophe and a failure, and that's why we're having trouble at every level of integration and all of a world design, because it was based on error. And when the anthropologists and the anatomists and the biochemists and the doctors get together in Chicago University and repudiate the sociological revolution on the other side of the university, that's news. And you know, it only came out in a little couple of places in the newspaper, and then the newspapers didn't have the courage to print it. Jesus said, you can't understand because you can't hear me. That picture of what's in my mind is not erected in yours because you don't have the wavelength of that perception. It has to be synthesized with light. Light that is the right man. For this cause, in God's grace, he put his kingdom into the world. He placed it here that it might carry and convey to those that could not receive it themselves the mighty priestcraft of God. Have you ever wondered why you were called a kingdom of priests and kings unto him? Why he called you a holy nation, and why it tells you in the book of Revelation, we shall rule and reign in the earth as priests and kings unto our God? Because what they cannot receive must be measured out to them, but it must be firmly retained in the hands of those that have the capacity to receive it and to carry it forth. The mystery of godliness is godlikeness, is this mystery of Christ, of God in the earth, of many sons manifested. For God of spirit became manifested in the flesh. That's a mystery. And you, the children of God in his spirit, manifested in flesh is the Adamic mystery and is the mystery of the kingdom. You are the people that can tune in and can receive. His Holy Spirit can bring to the wavelength of your celestial consciousness and into the ego consciousness of your soul a full unveiling revelation of everything that ever happened before you ever came to earth, and thus bring all these things to your remembrance and lead you to the knowledge of all truth. Children of his spirit. We have mentioned before that the Asiatic is probably the oldest man. Again, talking to anatomists, I wanted to confirm this for quotation and not alone. Well, we have discussed it many times. No phrenologist knew this for a long time. I asked this eminent doctor, I said, if we were to present before you the skeleton of an Asiatic and the skeleton of a Negro, the skeleton of a Western man from Germany or England or from America, and we were to give you also the fossils of the fossil man that came out of the Precambrian uplifts of Old Val, Africa, as Dr. Wheatley brought one out just 3 weeks ago, whose radiocarbon shows that it's 1,750,000 years old. And if we were to bring one 30,000 years old or 60,000 years old, as the layers of the Peking man have proven to be, and they're all true men too. They built fire, they worshiped, they had instruments which they made, they painted on the walls of caves better pictures than our modern artists. I said, what could you tell me about them by looking at those bones? He said, I could separate the Negro from the Asiatic from the white man just like that, just like you'd sort cards. I said, what? Because I know the shape of the skull. I know all the conditions. I've studied. I've measured them. This is my field. I know how thick the Negro skull is and everyone that's ever been found. I know the differences in the actual positioning even of the foramen magnum. The little hole the spinal column goes up through in the skull. different, you know. It's not exactly the same place in different races. So I said, that's all I wanted you to say, doctor. There was a difference. Not just the color of the skin that used to drape over it. And the other scientists have confirmed there's a difference in the contents as well. Now I talk to you, the sons and daughters of God, and I speak unto them that are perfect, because the Spirit in you has been begotten of the Father of incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. Let's be sure then that the houses we dwell in and the race we are a part of is preserved to do its work. Not integrated, not mongrelized, not surrendering. Strangely, this significance begins to dawn. That electronic pattern of remembrance has been your inheritance. And God can activate it, and He will. And you're storing up in knowledge, and you're storing up in experience, a great number of vital things, and you're transferring it to generations ahead. Now, one of the mysteries that seems so strange is when there is in the seat of consciousness a pattern of error, it's only knowledge and truth that straightens that out in the great reasoning center of your consciousness, your soul. And you heard the words of God's grace, I'll remove thy transgressions or thy sins from you as far as the east is from the west. I'll blot them out. They'll not be remembered against you anymore. What do you think the remembrance is? It's right here. God can adjust your thinking until you don't carry forward the destiny of error. Strangely enough, that's why Adamic errors have been inherited by us all. And that's why the great mystery of the power of resurrection and the great mystery of immortality, which shall descend back upon the children of God, shall be the enveloping of light and illumination. It shall be the repudiation of the catastrophe that came upon men that bound them with fear and gave them to accept the failures organically anticipated, or which starts the process of death. I can tell you this right now. Medical science right now has the know-how, to reverse the processes of aging at greater speed than people know. Could push 60 years back to 25. They can't do it? Yes, they can. They can do it. Dr. Alexis Carrel was one of the great medical minds. That his later work was, even then, under the auspices of the Rockefeller Foundation, but what he found was too great and too far advanced for what they wanted to do with it. They didn't want regeneration. They didn't want restored life power. They wanted patience. This man discovered a secret of life, which we have no time to discuss this afternoon, but it was real. Let me tell you that we're standing on the greatest day of human history. Not only is the true heart of investigation, our race, reaching out to put down the last enemy, death, but you've been assured that the mighty God is going to see that that last enemy is put down, and He's going to participate in doing it Himself. That by life enveloping glory, that by celestial light energy that'll balance every atom of your tissue, that'll put it back in perfect norm, because the bookkeeping quality of knowledge element that holds it together knows how it should be and can adjust it with the light and power. I tell you that you are in a great and tremendous hour, and this is the mystery of God-likeness. The Asiatic was created in the earth. He had the spirit of that creation. He was not the offspring of God. He was the created being of God. There was no error found in him until there came the revolution of Lucifer and the catastrophe that enveloped the earth. in bygone eras, the history and the time we cannot discuss because it's too long a story and we'll never run out talking about what's happened. The Negro never had a spirit to begin with. Oh, you say, you can't talk that way to me. I'm not trying to talk that way to you. I'm just telling you frankly, he never had one. He was all right when he was created. He had a consciousness of existence. He had a soul consciousness. He had no right synthesis of spiritual nature. He was not the offspring of God. He was a creature created. He wasn't as high a caste of creation as the Asiatic, or at least he fell to a status far beneath this. And he's referred to in the scripture as the dead, even though he's alive. The dead, when they die, they don't know anything at all. When he's dead, just like a dog. You say, is that the end of him? No, he can be resurrected and will be resurrected. But when he's dead, he's dead. That's why the scripture says the dead, when they die, don't know anything at all. But the living, that's you, when they die, the spirit returns to God from whence it came. The day is going to come when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to proclaim that our Father is the mighty Yahweh, the eternal God of the universe. The day is going to come when His life-giving power is going to restore life victoriously over all the universe. But if we understand that, we'll never stand by and condone again the mixture of these different species. I turned to this eminent doctor. I said, why are these creatures different? He said, they're a different species. They got a different seed. And that's what the scripture said. Kind begetting like kind, seed having life in itself. But you have something that the world does not have. You have spiritual seed, a mystery of God, in an earthen vessel that produces the celestial child developed and living in a physical body. Who can say, our Father, which art in heaven? And so the Father said, unto you, in Matthew, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them it's not given. And if you want to see whether that 13th chapter of Matthew meant what he said when he said, I speak in parables so they won't understand, turn over to Luke. In the 8th chapter of Luke, again, we see these words. And he said, unto you it's given to know the mysteries, but he spake to them in parables so they would not understand. The mysteries are for you. There are multitudes that would not even understand a thing which I talked about today. It would make no pattern or image in their mind. Some might have the capacity to form it, but they've been so out of touch with thinking in relationship to God that they've got no synthesis as yet for idea. Others have nothing with which to establish it. The ministers of God are to be the oracles of His mysteries. And these mysteries are spiritually discerned, and as Paul said, that we receive it by revelation. But after we have it by revelation, we can tie it down with science and with facts and with evidence. For the works of God and the Word of God must agree. This afternoon I tell you that there is a spiritual law, there is an intellectual law, there is a physical racial law. Why we must keep our racial self-respect, keep our sons and daughters from marrying outside of our race, assume our divine responsibility as kings and priests before Him, and then build and work for Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
You have been listening to a lecture by Dr. Wesley A. Swift entitled, From Mystery to Revelation.